Well, last week we began a sermon series titled, This Is Us. And I know it's the name of a television show that's out there now. I've never even watched it, but it looks into the lives of a couple of families and just kind of the dynamics and the ups and downs and of a family life. But we titled this Is Us, because we're actually going to look at a little bit about what the family life inside of a church is meant to be like, and then specifically a little bit about our church, the inside of Community Life Church. And last week we talked about some trends that are in the church, specifically the church in America, over the past several decades, and trends that are causing concern for people in the, like, our world and world of a pastor, trends that are causing the church as a whole to seemingly drift more and more away from what her original purpose was and what Jesus had in mind when he birthed the church. And we talked last week about sometimes the danger is that we see church as a building that you come to and you attend on a weekend, and you attend it for some self-help. And that's good. We want you to come to church and get some help. Everybody needs some help and encouragement, and maybe give your kids a little bit of taste of God, see what that's like. But the trend has been to attend church. It's trending this way, to attend and do that over and over again and not really engage deeply in the heart of the mission of what the church is about. Kind of, I attend, I get what I need, and then I go, and then I come back whenever I feel like I want to, or, you know, I need some more help, that kind of thing. And I happened to come across a video this week, and it's by Francis Chan. Some of you have been in the church a few years ago. We did a study with in a book called Multiply. He authored a book called Multiply, so you maybe are familiar with Francis Chan. But he talked, I found this excerpt of him preaching a message that somebody put into a video that we're going to just show you in a moment about this very thing. And so when I'm listening to it, I'm thinking, this is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This really resonates with our heart, describing what the church in America is becoming. And everything that he's saying, it's an excerpt really from his book. He wrote a book called Letters to the Church. It just came out in September. And we bought the book. We've listened to the video. And I've always liked Francis Chan. He is a pastor. And we started to read the book and thought, this really resonates, again, mm-hmm. with our heart and what we see happening in the church world. But he talks about all what church planters will do and pastors will do to try and make church exciting and pleasing to people so that they come back. And we talked last week a little bit about that becoming like an attractional church, that I want to attract people into the church. And he was wrestling with this question, really. What the book is about is wrestling with this question for pastors and church members to ask ourselves, is this really what God intended for the church to be? To make ourselves happy is really what he's saying. Like, are we really here to come to church so that we can all be happy? And he's saying that church has become more of a place to discover more of me, kind of. Not so much losing our life in order to gain more of him.
Right.
And he's saying that pastors have been guilty of propagating this, if you will, cultivating that mindset in the church in order to keep everybody happy, keep people coming back. And if you start to prod people too much to look at themselves, examine carnality in their life, or you begin to risk offending people, and you risk people don't want to stay, because it doesn't get exciting when you start talking about that, does it? Who wants to hear about why I have to change?
That's a good place to say amen.
Maybe you came to church for that reason this morning, and I applaud you for it.
Yep.
Because that's really what church life, some of what church life is about. Because sometimes when it's not exciting enough for what you want it to be, people just leave and go elsewhere. And this is what he's saying trends in America are about. The pastors are seeing happen. You know, I'm just going to go find a more exciting and accepting place for myself. I should have turned off my sound here. So Francis Chan, though, just to set the video up, as we're going to just watch it here in a moment, he's a pastor. He did pastor a mega church. He actually started a small church in his living room that turned into a mega church. But he left it all behind about 7 or 8 years ago, I think it was, in frustration over this very thing of what he was seeing it was growing into. But before we watch the video, we also just want to say this. Some of you have come to church this morning. You need a hug, okay?
Right.
And we don't intend for you to watch this video and you feel like you've been kicked. Like, ouch.
But,
you know, we pray really that it actually helps you to understand, though, what church is meant to be, and we're glad that you're here. And then there might be some of you here that you feel like you're going to watch and you're going to get a little bit kick of conviction inside of your heart. But that's good.
Yes.
See, this is what we're saying. That's good because that's the Holy Spirit. It's not condemnation. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us conviction. And when we yield to what he wants to do in our life, that's with a heart of repentance. Scripture says that that kind of repentance, godly repentance, leads to life. It doesn't lead to death. And so conviction is okay. And so let's just watch this video, and then we'll get back into the message.
Almost all the churches in the Bible drift and get screwed up. Paul tells the Galatians, he goes, "Who bewitched you? What happened to you guys?" He goes, "I feel like I wasted all that time with you." Then you read the book of 1 Corinthians, and he's like telling the Corinthians, "What is wrong with you guys? I heard there's divisions among you." He goes, like, some are saying, "I follow this guy and this guy, this guy." He goes, "Was I crucified for you? Why are you following me? Didn't I tell you it was about Jesus?" He goes, "I hear that you guys sue each other, seriously? I hear that there's immorality in the church and you're proud of it? I hear that people are getting drunk during communion." Drunk, communion, really? "I hear that some of you don't even believe in the resurrection anymore. What in the world? Are you kidding me right now?" And so I'm reading about all these churches that drift, and we can look and go, "Yeah, the church in Ephesus, yeah, the church in Laodicea, yeah, the church in Galatia, yeah, the church in Corinth." Hey, what about us? What about the church in America? Do we really think we're one of the good ones? In America, we have buildings that we call churches, and you go to them, and you sit for an hour, hour and a half, and someone teaches you a message. And then if you don't like it, you can go to the church down the street. That doesn't make sense biblically. You don't think about that. It's not about you. You don't go, "I didn't like it, I didn't like it, I didn't like this." You go for him because we're concerned about what pleases him. That's what the gatherings were supposed to be. You think the high angels in Revelation 4 saying, "Holy, holy, holy," at the end of the day go, "I didn't really like it today." They got it. We are so self-centered. When's the last time you made a decision based upon him where you go, "What would please you most? What would make you happiest? Because you're my God, you're my master." You know what would please you? Is he says, the ones who actually tremble at his word. You know what? Let's grab a couple friends and let's just read the word and tremble at it. Let's read through the book of Revelation. Let's just get together and read it. We don't need a great speaker. Let's just read it and tremble at it because his words are so much higher than mine. He wants us devoted to prayer. Let's get together and let's just seek his presence and see what happens, because that actually is more exciting to me. That's more exciting. See, what we did in the church was no one showing up for prayer meeting. Well, then let's change the prayer meeting. Let's make it shorter. Let's bring in a band. Let's bring in a speaker. And we'll save a few minutes for prayer so we can still call it prayer meeting. Let's change the prayer meeting. And now I'm at an age where I go, you know what? No, let's change your heart. Why don't you want to go to prayer? It's not the problem with the service. The problem is you. Do you not understand who he is? Do you not understand the price that was paid so that I can come into his presence? And I'm talking to the one that's keeping us all alive right now. And he can change everything. How is that not exciting to you? Something's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with the prayer meeting. I think we'd be blown away if we simplified and went back to early church. Don't you read about Acts 2 and go, oh, I wish I lived there. Where they just devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the fellowship, and the breaking of bread. We have an opportunity right now at this time in history. I am so pumped about it. But it's time to change the church and say, you know what? Enough of this consumer garbage. I'm going to devote myself to these things because I think it's going to actually become better as we strip away all these things we think we need.
That message excites me.
Yes, it is very exciting.
That's exciting because I do believe that's the trend the church is going to move towards. Because people, I think, have just become so self-centered that it's only going to be for the people that have passion for the mission. It's like, why bother to come? And so we want to just dig into that and start to stir up our hearts towards it. In fact, we're even thinking, we're going to do a life group study. One of them, we're going to do a few in the winter, and that's one that
this will definitely be one of them.
Very well be on the list, yeah.
Last week we looked at Acts chapter 2 and talked about how, and he brought it up here, that the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer and to fellowship and breaking of bread and moving from house to house. And the truth is, the key word is devotion. Everybody say devotion.
Devotion.
Devotion. Devotion. And we gave you the definition of devotion last week. And I'm going to do it again this week. Devotion, devoted. Devoted means to continue to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. I stay devoted. I keep on. I persist when it's hard. You know, you look around at the American culture, Western civilization, and the truth is devotion has become a lost virtue. Another word to use for devotion is loyalty. To stay loyal when it's hard. To stay loyal to God when things don't turn out the way you thought that they should be, and you have this tendency to want to walk away. To just stay devoted to the church family, even if I get offended, even if my feelings are hurt, or even if my preferences aren't met. And this is the body of Christ. This is us. Or it's supposed to be us. You know, we need the culture of our hearts to change. We need the culture of devotion to manifest itself in our marriages, in our families, in our church relationships, on the job. We mentioned last week about how consumerism is really taking over Western culture, especially in North America. You know, you can go into debt because you deserve it, the credit cards will tell you. And the church, again, like Pastor Mamie says, has contributed some to this mindset too, is because we became seeker-friendly. Don't make anything too hard. They might not come back. Even though Jesus is a rock of offense.
Yeah,
it's in the Bible.
Yeah,
it's the one we serve. Yeah. You know, changing the prayer meeting, like Francis Chan said. You change the prayer meeting. Nobody's coming, so make it more exciting. And forget about the presence of God. Let's create an atmosphere that they really want to come to. In other words, have a lot of cool vibes. We like a good church. We've done a lot of work in this building to make it what it is. You know, there's no question about it. The atmosphere does matter, but we want the presence of God more than an atmosphere.
Amen, yeah.
It's, You know, we don't want to have a light show during worship. We don't want to have close-ups on who's singing so that everybody's distracted from the words and worshiping God to, oh, what is she wearing today? Oh, what is he got?
Right.
What has church become? Yeah. And this has been rolling around in our hearts for
20 years.
Yeah. For years. It's.
And it. You know, we say it's been called in our church circles attractional church. And these things, gigantic screens and smoke and all the high-tech stuff, I mean, it does attract people. But what pastors have been finding is that even in mega churches, when you attract thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And this is what Francis Chan was getting upset in his heart about. He said it's like attendance wasn't automatically translating into deeper heart engagement with what Jesus wants to do in our lives.
Right.
And real discipleship and then lasting life transformation. He was like, that's really what church is about. I mean, we are, like you said, we are all for a relevant, attractive church. Like you said, we've done our best to do that in this building. I mean, we have our nice little cafe and with twinkling lights.
Twinkling lights. No light show. Yeah. Twinkling lights.
But it's had an unintended side effect in our culture, which is definitely a selfie culture. Look at me, right? What do I want? People have come to evaluate church either by its size, the number of people that are there, by what they get out of it, what's in it for me, not by what they're coming really to put into it. Like, really, the bottom line is, like Jesus would say, it's about giving up your life is really what being a Christ follower is about. And it's a mistake. This is on our outline. It's a mistake. We had this last week, but we thought it was so good, we'd bring it up again.
Right.
It's a mistake to evaluate church by what you get out of it, not by what you put into it. Yes, we should be getting things out of church. Absolutely.
Come on.
And we do plan our Sunday morning gathering, experience, worship, sermon, children's ministry, the greeters, all of it. We want to be celebrating the presence of God and expecting him to talk to us. So we want to get something out of it. But we have to put something into it also. And that's where things start to drift. Because only sometimes a few people really understand, I need to put something into this to keep the presence of God even, to welcome him and what we're doing. Because if I primarily just come to get, you know, have it meet all my needs, I have to ask myself, you know, what am I putting into it? Am I loving the people? Am I engaged in the mission of what we're doing here to see this church succeed, to see people get saved, praying for the mission of the church to bring God greater glory in our city, in our town, in our neighborhoods? Am I coming and keeping my heart in the game here of what this thing called church is about? Am I part in it? Even when I feel like some of it doesn't make sense, or like he said, I didn't like that, or I'd like to do this, and I don't get to do that, or whatever it might be that we think church is meant to be. I think about praying for the church is huge.
Here's the question.
Don't think that the devil wouldn't like to just eliminate all the churches, right? Or get churches in competition and division amongst the people. But how often, you have to ask yourself this, how often do you sincerely pray for your church, this church?
Boy, it got quiet in here.
That God's presence would be found here. That the people would be strong, that we would succeed in our mission. Like we have that statement out there. We want people to know God, find purpose, experience life, walk with God. Do I pray about that mission? Do I even ask him, what's my part in it?
Right.
What can I come to contribute, to put into it? I mean, just like in the video, he said, it's all about Jesus. This is really his mission. And you have to ask him, like, Lord, what would make you happiest about my place here in a church? What would please you most about my life? Because you're Lord and you're Master.
Yeah.
But what happens, I absolutely believe what happens, because this is just the nature of our flesh, is we reverse that question instead of asking God what would make you happiest. We think God's asking us, what would make you happiest about being a part of this church? And I can just see if I can make that happen.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say God's going to make you happy.
You know, but see, I mean, really, following after God isn't about him making you or me happy.
Right.
That's not really what his will is about in our life. I want to make you happy. I want to make it all smooth. It's not even comfortable. I mean, he's not even about making us comfortable all this time. We make a mistake right. when we base the, you know, God doing things in our life based on what makes me happy. How do I feel about this? And I feel happy about it because usually it's meaning I'm going to take the easiest way, right? I'm not going to have to deal with anything in my life. When instead God might be teaching you something along the lines of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness. I think that's often what he's doing most of the time right. in church, because that's really when you rub elbows with people and it's likely that somebody's going to get on your nerves. You're not going to understand them. You'll get offended. And then what do? We're supposed to allow ourselves to grow in character at that moment and say, Lord, what would make you happiest? And I think the Lord would say, I'd like you to walk in the fruit of the Spirit here.
Crucify the flesh.
And I mean, I remember when we were training in Bible school, I wanted to go to a different church. You know, I did. I was like, we were part of it. The church, the school had a large church and...
And it was a good church.
It was a good church. They absolutely preached the gospel. But I wanted to go to a different church. I just enjoyed that teaching at the other church a little bit better. I enjoyed the style. I thought I could, why don't we just go there? And yet we had heard, you really shouldn't do that. If you're a student at this school, you should stay at this school. But it wasn't mandatory. And so I just kept playing that around in my mind with the Lord. Can we go there? Can we go there? Entertaining the thoughts, I'd like to go there. I finally got up enough courage. I felt like what the Lord was leading me to do is, why don't you just go into neutral?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want me to stay, like to ask, if you want me to stay, Lord, I'll stay and I'll obey either way. I often, and I've learned that lesson because sometimes until we get into neutral, we don't really know. And I remember once I got into neutral, it was really clear to me what the Holy Spirit was saying. I want you to stay right where you are. Serve here with a good attitude. Just come under the authority of this church and its pastors. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. And we were blessed by mm-hmm. it. And I can see now it was a test for me to build faithfulness in me, to just go, you don't always get your way. I want to see if you'll just serve with a good attitude and be faithful. And it helped me grow up a little bit, stay put in the hard place, because there would be many, many, right. many more tests. All these years have gone by, and I think, oh my gosh, that same test comes around when you feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. Can I go now? Can I go back to what I was, you know, I was a nurse before we were in ministry. Can I just go now? I've had enough. And the Lord's like, no, I've called you. Stay put. Learn faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me, you know, Jesus was faithful to the end. It wasn't right. good enough that, what if he carried his cross halfway up, you know, to Calvary and stopped? It's like, is this far enough, Father? Does that go enough? I mean, I've been in a lot of pain right up to this point. Can I just drop this thing now? It's like, no, you're going to the end.
Yeah.
And so faithfulness often in the hard place helps our character to grow. But, you know, when we approach church,
right.
like with a little bit of a different attitude, like, well, I'm just here to make myself happy and what I can get out of it.
Yeah, when we come to a church, there's a what's in it for me idea. It, you know, how is this church going to meet my needs? How is it going to suit what I want? How is it going to make, how is it going to fit my preferences? You know, when we come in to any church with that attitude, after a while, the whole thing suffers. The whole thing suffers. You suffer because you stay stuck. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And we saw the video. It says that's self-centered.
Yeah.
What's in it for me? What's in it for me? That means the whole body suffers because there's a missing part.
Yeah.
Sitting on the bench when he should be playing in the game. You know, it's And the truth is, ultimately, your relationship with Christ suffers because he's the greatest servant of all. Yeah. Let's face it, Jesus didn't get his way. And he's, throughout the scriptures, says, for you to crucify yourself. He says, unless you give up everything that you have, you cannot be my disciple. This is church, folks. But we want to come in and say, well, the latte wasn't, temperature wasn't right for me.
You know, too much milk in it. Yeah.
I can't believe that this church doesn't have a jungle gym for my kids. You know, where's the retina scan for my kids? I mean, that's, you know. But the church suffers. You know, this is on our outline. Look at what this says. Church is meant to be about what Jesus wants for his church, not our personal preferences. Can I get an amen there?
Amen. Yeah.
The whole thing is about following him. It's about our love and devotion to him. I love what he said there. We're alive because he said so. We're alive right now because he said so. Listen, people come to church in need, and that is absolutely correct and right, and that is to be expected.
Yeah.
It's to be expected. The church is kind of like an emergency room. It's kind of like a hospital. It's here to help the brokenhearted find hope and faith in Christ. It is a spiritual hospital, you know. But if you continue to say in that mindset, fix me first, you will lose sight of the entire idea of church, which is life transformation and healing that takes place in the body of Christ. And to tell you the truth, the major part, the prescription by Dr. Jesus... I'm serious. He says, live beyond yourself.
Yeah.
Live beyond yourself. Serve one another. Help somewhere. You know, make a difference in someone else's life. Even secular psychologists found the scriptures to be true and recognized that wisdom. If you want to start feeling good about yourself, serve someone else. And you'll feel better. Dr. Jesus, there's our prescription. Look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is one who generously scatters abroad and yet increases all the more. And then there's the one who withholds what is justly due, and it results only in want and poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessing heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. This is life-giving wisdom. When I'm generous, you don't lose out, you gain, you win. But when I hold back, you lose. This is our kingdom. This is Jesus telling us these things. Yeah. He is the Word of God.
And that generosity, it's not, it's money, but it's beyond money. It's giving our life away. Just acts of kindness, serving, all the things that we do, pray for one another, help one another.
Right.
We recently heard of one of the elementary kids in Mile One giving away some of her points to another child when they had the Kennywood gift shop open so that that other child could get
what
the gift that they wanted. How cool is that? You know, that the child gave her gifts, her points away so that somebody else could be blessed. And God takes notice of that stuff in our lives. And he'll find a special way to bless her for that generosity, that generous heart. Because I'm sure what made that the child who gave the points away feel good about themselves, to see that it helped somebody else and to see the smile on the other person's face, that was a mutual blessing. Yes. She didn't lose out by giving away her points. Oh, I can't get anything now. It actually helped her feel better about herself. And then yesterday, like we mentioned, the community project that the kids went out and cleaned up the mulch area in front of the city police department and the fire department. Again, we have to keep teaching and training our kids that the universe doesn't revolve around them, that we're here to help people, we're here to serve right. other people. And in doing that, it makes you feel better about yourself. So the point, this is on our outline, the point of church, you know, is life transformation, to become more like Jesus, to live a changed life, which brings glory to God.
Yes.
And draws more people to him. We can come to church for years, and sometimes that never happened, because there's not much dying to self going on. You can gain a lot of head knowledge, but not have real discipleship. Mm-hmm. This is on our outline. Authentic discipleship has always been about dying to self. That's really where the rubber meets the road. Jesus was big on this.
Yep.
Take up your cross and follow me. Taking up your cross isn't a feel-good thing. So that fix me first, you know, when we, and I was like that. When I first came into the churches that invited you to serve, that was me. I fix me, like, or help somebody. Like, I need help. Please, somebody, help me. But if you stay stuck in the fix me first mode, what about me, how I feel, it can just become this black hole. Everything gets sucked into that. I can't. I'm not ready. It's too much. I'm not able. Are you kidding me? Like, me do that? That's my time. I don't agree with that. I think I should do this. Or, I mean, just self has a lot of different voices, doesn't it? Shows up in a lot of different ways yep. in our life. You know, but what if we began to see church as a place where God would teach us to say no to those voices, to recognize them and go, that's not Christ-like. And say no to those voices and learn to die to ourselves.
Right.
And pick up our cross, so to speak, and follow him. I wonder if that's some of what God saw for his church, the bride, his bride. You know, that we would come into unity around that. I think this is what Francis Chan is on to. I really do. By committing, you know, to one another, when we come into a fellowship and we feel like this is where God led me to be, I'm going to commit. I'm going to love one another. I'm going to learn to do the one another's, even when it's hard. I'm going to love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, help one another. And wouldn't that just be the place, the perfect place for that crucible that God to put us all into for refinement and sanctification and purity?
Yeah.
I think this is maybe how he's going to do it, because that Ephesians scripture, it's like, till we all come in the unity. I think, I read that in Ephesians and I think, how are you going to do that, Lord? But maybe with the trend in the church changes and we see the right. work of the church, why we come in and what we're supposed to allow him to do in our lives, it's going to shift everything in the body of Christ. And I wonder if God would see that.
Right.
As pleasing in his sight. I think that would make him happy, wouldn't it?
Come on.
And I wonder if more power would emerge from the church because of it. Because when you look at the book of Acts, you think they were in unity. They devoted themselves mm-hmm. to these simple things, but they were devoted to one another. When they came into the church, it's like, I love you guys, you know, and they were persecuted. I think that was some of why they were held so tightly together with one another. But the American church does need to get a handle on this. I'm convinced of it.
Yep.
Because it's drifting away from its original purpose. And the biggest danger is that it's going to produce, the scripture says it'll produce an apostate church.
Correct.
Where the hearts of people just get more and more self-centered, more and more on them, and don't even understand what church is about. It's going to look like the church, but it's called, in scripture, if you read it, it's called an apostate church. And so this is why we're passionate about what we're doing. You know, we're yep. talking about partnership. We're having our partnership meeting tonight. We want to, this message is not easy. We want to lay it out so you understand the value in it of what you're doing when you partner with the church, with a group of people, and contend for how we go about carrying out our mission.
Yes.
Because the stakes are high in our mission. It's eternal life or eternal death for people. That's a pretty serious outcome and consequence of your mission. Will people go to heaven and be with Jesus and for all eternity? Or will they go to hell for all eternity? And so we take the mission seriously. And let's just look at our destiny. We have this on our website. You want to read that?
I love this. This is a Rick Warren quote. Is two of the greatest days in a person's life are the day they're born and the day they discover what they were born for.
Yeah.
And we believe every individual who is born into this planet has a divine destiny created by God. And the truth is, we consider it the greatest tragedies that a person never actually steps into what they were destined for.
Yeah, they go to their grave.
Really, the graveyard is probably the place where there's the most treasure, unfulfilled destinies, just sitting there. Because the truth is, heaven is real, hell is real. And there is no in-between, and we are absolutely passionate about our mission. We gave our life for this. There is no question about it. I think what happened with Francis Chan is that he was so disillusioned by the American church. You find out what he did. He went to Asia to go live. And he found out the church over there was being persecuted, but they had more joy and they were more pure in their faith. They loved one another with a passionate love. And would it take persecution for us to do this, or would everybody fall away? Would you be willing to give up your life rather than deny Jesus? Or would you turn other people in because they claim they are Jesus? They are followers of Jesus. This is important. You know, our mission is to help people know God.
Yeah, this is
and find their purpose and experience life.
But mission statements like that, they can make nice, great wall decor like we have it out in our lobby.
We got it right out there.
But it has to go beyond just a catchy phrase for us. It has to grab our hearts. We have to see what's at the other end of it. It's people.
Yes,
people's eternity. And how will we help people do this? That's what we've grappled with. It's like, well, so, God, I feel like this is what our mission is. It's about knowing Jesus, first of all. People have to see that they have a purpose that they're here in the earth for, and you have a life for them. But how will we accomplish it?
Right.
How will we do it? You know, some of you are sitting here because the mission has been going forth. We started back at the school in 2004. You're saved here, water baptized here. Some of you have been married here. You found purpose here, life transformation here. So the mission is important. There's life change going on. Our core purposes came, this, we just give you a quick explanation, from the Great Commandment and the Great Commission.
That's right.
The Great Commandment that Jesus gave. What's the greatest commandment? He said in the New Testament, Jesus said to him, this is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And we find two of our main purposes right here. This, the first one is, of course, to love God, to make him center of our lives. Make him center. Again, goes back to, what would please you, Lord?
So loving God.
With all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. It starts with Jesus, it ends with Jesus. Right. He is the life giver. We're alive because he is decided we were to be alive. He's the head. We are the body. We follow him.
Yeah. The second purpose there for the church that we see is, you know, in love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Meaning I'm supposed to serve. I'm supposed to live beyond myself and give my life away. And then the Great Commission that Jesus said, here's the Great Commission. He told his disciples, this is what he said before he went back up into heaven, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you.
There you go.
And remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So he says, go therefore, make disciples. So that's part of our purpose too, to reach out. To not just be, it's just not about what we do here six walls in this hexagonal shape of the church. But it's outside the walls of the church. It's all about the people that are out there lost and on their way to hell without
People you rub elbows with every day.
And so go make a disciple of all nations. That's he intends for us to do. When he says baptize them in the name of the Father, like bring them, baptize is, that word baptize in Greek means full immersion. Like you bring them into the body, connect them in.
Yes, connect
into the body. So it's connecting into the body.
Yeah, and the third purpose we glean from the Great Commission is teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That means to grow up spiritually.
Yeah.
That means to grow up spiritually. Just like what Pastor Mamie has said. You know, a lot of times growing up spiritually, we think it's like gifts of the Spirit. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Patience.
So our role as pastors is to equip you to carry out these five purposes because they're important to God. Look at this scripture, Ephesians 4:11 says.
It's really good.
Do you want to read that?
Sure, I love reading the word. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, and for the building up of the body of Christ. That is our job, is to equip you to go do the work of the ministry. Yeah. It's been all backwards. Everybody thinks that the pastor is supposed to do everything. No, the pastor is supposed to teach you to go out into the world.
And or use your gifts inside of the church to discover them. And
it's all. Right. It's all encompassing. It's your entire life. It's not that you just serve. It's that you serve. You give money. It's your entire life. You know, the church is not peripheral to the world. The world's actually peripheral to the church. The church is the focus that God has.
Yeah.
And we want to be a church. We want to equip you enough that you are impacting to the world around you. And as you do that, you're obtaining eternal rewards. You're pleasing the Father God. You're pleasing Jesus Christ.
And so this is why we're going to just go through here before we close the service out. We're going to talk a little bit more about it this evening, about as pastors, we know we're going to stand before God one day.
Yep.
And give an account for our call as a pastor. And we want to be able to say to the Lord on that day, we did the best we could, to be intentional about what we taught people, about what church was meant to be mm-hmm. about. And so this is us, if you will. Like, number one, we are committed to loving God and making Jesus the center of our lives. This is who we are as a church. We're committed to loving God and making Jesus the center, and we're going to help you make Jesus the center.
Right.
That's our role. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
So when we put him and his desires first, above ourselves, it's an act of honor to him.
There you go.
It's really our highest form of worship and surrender. It's like, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. So that's our greatest act of surrender and worship
yes.
we can give to God. Our second purpose
is really, you know, connecting. We're committed to connecting with other believers and doing life together. You cannot grow isolated. You might be able to go on the internet and see incredible speakers, great pastors. But in order to put that into practice, you have to rub elbows with other people. Other than that, you're just gaining insight and you're just gaining knowledge, but you're not a doer of the word. You know, it's where when we connect, that means we can have iron sharpening iron. It's that we become authentic in our relationships. Oh, bless you, Lord. Oh, bless you, brother. Oh, yeah, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. You're just fighting on the way up to church. With your wife. Oh, glory to God. Everything's good. No, if you have authentic relationships at the church and you become vulnerable, you're able to say, man, I need some help. My wife and I are fighting. Hello. Other than that, you're going to go home and be silent.
Yeah.
She goes upstairs, you go downstairs. Yeah. Or you go upstairs and she goes downstairs. We have to have these connections with other believers. This is the idea of the church. It is the church. It goes, you know, doing life together makes Jesus happy.
Yeah.
It puts a smile on his face. You and I in authentic relationship, being devoted to one another, loving one another, forgiving one another. You know, you can't forgive one another if you're not together. Everything's good. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, you're always at home by yourself, you know. Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, boy, you're pretty smart. Then you go and explain it to somebody and say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Then you grow.
If you don't get offended.
If you don't get offended, yeah.
The third purpose, we are committed to serving others. We are committed to serving others and living beyond ourselves.
That's really good
stuff.
We've
been using that phrase, living beyond ourselves. Serving others and living beyond ourselves. Jesus said this in Mark 10:45. He came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. And so he's our master. This is what he's going to lead us to. If we really want to follow him, he's going to say, at some point, you're going to come face to face with a decision. Do I want to go deeper? Will I obey?
Yeah.
We don't want to be observers, do we?
No.
I mean, we believe that God's designed everybody with gifts and abilities. And as we just step out and use them to serve God and people, we're going to find an inner joy come to our lives that we couldn't find any other way.
Right.
And so there's a place for you to serve here at the church. And if you just pick up a Team Life application, you'll find all those options there for you.
Yeah.
So number four, we're committed to growing in character.
Becoming more like Jesus. Becoming more like Jesus. You know, we all come to Jesus with broken hearts, you know, broken places. And the good news is that God's love is supernatural to a place that can make you whole. It can heal you from past hurts. It can transform your lives as we trust and obey God. But a lot of times that healing comes through another person who speaks into your life.
Yeah.
He gives us the grace to change. It's God's grace to change. Grace is God's power. God's grace to change. This Titus chapter 2.
Right. So the last one, we're committed to going and living out the mission.
Yes.
Going beyond the walls of the church. Going to your workplace. Going to your neighbor. Going wherever God, the Holy Spirit, has you. To live out the mission by inviting others to know the hope we found in Jesus Christ.
Right.
If you have found hope, if you found life change, then we are not to keep it to ourselves. Jesus said, go and make a disciple. To make a disciple, you have to open your mouth and say something. Right? John 3:16 says this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The world is full of people. Our world, your world, where you are, is full of people who need to find the hope of eternal life through a relationship with Jesus. And we believe the church has been sent to be a messenger of that hope.
Yes.
That's part of our call. That's part of our purpose.
And you're the church.
There's a broken, hurting world out there waiting to hear. And so this is us.
Yes. This is us.
Jesus is center.
Mm-hmm. We're connected.
Connected together.
Right.
Serving, growing to be more like Christ and going. And so as we close out the message today, we do want to invite everybody in here to come to the partnership meeting tonight. It's just so important that we understand what Jesus means by partnership. I think we've given you a good idea here today in this message. Become a partner with us to fulfill the mission God has given us for this church. See lives changed. I mean, tonight it's going to start at 5 p.m. sharp, okay? So we're going to start eating right at 5. We're going to pray and eat. So you want to be sure you get here a little bit early. We're going to have a taco bar. It's going to have fun, so a little bit of fellowship.
Yep.
And in the meantime, though, as we do that, we're going to explain partnership. And just like what Jason said at the beginning, the benefits of partnership, what we mean by it, what you get out of it, what we pour into it, what the church, how the church will grow from it. And we truly believe our best days are ahead.
Yes.
And we want to invite you to be a part of it, because I believe your destiny, what God has for you, will just slowly unfold as you commit yourself to partnership.
Right. Your destiny is found in a local church.
So just, we bow our heads. You know, if you've come today, we talk about Jesus, we talk about eternal life, and maybe if you died today, you wonder, I don't know if I for sure if I would go to heaven. Would I? Do I know Jesus? Have I ever committed myself to him?
Mm-hmm.
So this is an opportunity before we close. We want to ask you, would you like to make him Lord of your life if you haven't already? Salvation is a gift. It comes because Jesus paid the price for the penalty of your sin, which was to die and go to hell. He stood in your place. He paid that penalty so that you could go free and have life eternal with him. But you have to respond to that gift. You have to open your heart and say, I want to receive that gift. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So if that's you today, you want to pray a prayer of faith and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you could just raise your hand. All the heads are bowed.
Well, raising your hand is a simple act of faith. You're telling God that you're serious with him. And
we'll pray that prayer with you, and you'll be born again. Is anybody in here would like to do that? Okay. All right. Okay. Jason, you want to come on up?
All right. Thank you, Pastor Steve and Mamie. I thank God for the gift of pastors that he's given to the church. Amen? Aren't they a blessing to us? Once again, I want to remind you, if this is your first time with us, if you're our guest,